Aloha. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here on talk808.com. Thank you for joining. You can pick us up at carol@carolcox.com, carolcox.com, or go to envirowatch.org and check us out there as well. It's all the same, but just different banners. But a couple of things that I want to discuss and share from the first hour. Well, we know the Mauna Kea concerns that we have there and expressed, but I'm still working on the oily sludge and the Navy Red Hill underground storage tanks. And I know that many of you, it's so easy to dismiss what we say because we tend to show what is really going on and without any fanfare or any, we don't flower it up or color. We just try and tell you the truth as we find it. And many of you know that the TMK is occurring up there, but there is something I want to speak to real briefly. And I know that the suicide is a problem. And many people, I see that various segments of the population are seeing a high increase or higher incidence of suicide, military-wise. We tried to talk about it years back, and the information was, well, it's sensitive, we don't want it. But now they're admitting that there is a major problem with suicide in the military. Well, there's something here. We've talked about the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And in the Department of Land and Natural Resources, there's conservation officers. And unfortunately, there was a gentleman last week, an officer, that took his life, they report. But it wasn't reported publicly. A couple of years back, before that, another officer, conservation officer, kill himself. So my question is it that we will frown upon the discussion of it and object to anyone discussing it while these people are exposed to whatever? Maybe it's, how do we know it's not the stress of the job? How do we know that it's not the practices of the administrators that is causing these people to want to take their own lives? And why then is it not available? Probably if you go and seek counseling, it will be held against you. We don't know, but we are concerned. And the caliber of people that being hired, I've been reading about suicides, and anyone can become suicidal depending on circumstances, and I don't want to get involved into naming them and what have you, but the reading is that it's an increase. And the Department of Land and Natural Resources owe it to the public and to the gentlemen and women that serve in their agencies a more respectable approach to this. Instead, keep it quiet. And I'm going to try and read just one one letter that this is how they handle it. And so when someone... it's a difficult subject to talk about because many of the people that I've known is affected by this. Now, this is how they handle it, and I read this with great caution and great concern, but I want to tell you that when someone take their own life, the agencies involved, and I'm privy to, they are not doing what they should be doing. like other agencies, take care of it and get counseling and what have you. This is from the chief law enforcement of DLNR, Mr. Jason Redullo. This is after the suicide occurs. Now, you follow this and you draw your own conclusion, formulate your own opinions. And aloha, fellow DoCare employees. It is with great regret that I inform you of the passing of two members of the DoCare family. I was notified this morning of an unexpected passing of the individual. The circumstances of the death was not fully known and is under investigation. Due to the ongoing investigation and its sensitive nature, I respectfully request that everyone help by not spreading any rumors that you may hear. They don't want you spreading any rumors or want you telling the truth. They want to keep it closed door, back door. It's our little secret approach. I would also like to inform you of the recent passing of the individual. He had worked in the district and was a respected officer and a friend who had been very close to his fellow officers. In early July, I spoke to him and expressed a strong motivation and desire to return to full duty despite some setbacks that he was experiencing. The motivation to return to full duty expressed by this individual served in the community with the other agencies. And these situations are never easy for anyone during this time. So if you get a call and you're the supervisor or the director or head of the agency, law enforcement, and you get this call and you're told you have another officer in trouble who has taken his life. When were you writing the letter to the and inform the gentleman? Why did you wait to put both names in the write the letter? Did they die on the same day? Did they take their lives? Or why would you write it in such a way that it asks more questions, and yet officers are saying that their manual that would address these issues has not been codified or not complete or signed off on? For 10 years they've been studying it, and yet the officers are having to come to work and deal with the stresses of life and all those things, and then unfortunately circumstances develop to where they feel that they can't manage them, and they're left to their own accord to navigate and conceal what it is and try to be normal when, in fact, just maybe counseling and seeing a psychiatrist or seeing something to address that would help. Now, we've talked about the tolerance of workplace violence that Suzanne Case has openly acknowledged that she's aware that it's workplace violence, but no action. So is it these elements that cause men and women to want to take their own lives? We don't know. But I did talk to an HPD officer, and they said, well, we got available counseling. If we need it, we can go and get it. So if you get the chance to talk to the DLNR, ask them, what is more important? Keeping secret or treating these men and women with respect and affording them an opportunity or opportunities to get counseling in a timely fashion and so that they can avoid these kinds of consequences. So anyway, that's what the DLNR does for you. They play the game that everything we wanted presented as being perfect, the perfect family, when in fact it's not perfect at all. And we know that. And so from the ranks of Suzanne Case need to do something. Governor David Ige needs to do something about these issues that are presented, that popping up here, and it's problematic. But anyway, so much for that, and we're going to keep on top of it. There was an officer on the Big Island some years ago I mentioned that took his own life, and we wrote and asked the state questions, and this was during William Isler's time. Well, it's still under investigation, and to date, I never received a response. So you ask yourself, the question is, well, what happens? Are these people carrying guns and stable? Or are these people being forced and with the strict management? And as you recall, there was a new regime in town with Suzanne Case, and I think his name was Robert Farrell, and who just took things and just rearranged the DLNR. And could these be contributing factors added on to? I don't know. But in talking with many of the officers, they're not happy, and not happy because they're just pissing and moaning. They're not happy because they've been subjected to practices of discrimination, harassment, forcing them to go out, and yet tolerating workplace violence, allowing people to stay in place for workplace violence. But anyway, so much for that. Just thought I'd share that with you, that there is this problem, and it needs to be dealt with and afford these officers the opportunity to get the care that they need. So that's about it on that subject. And just trying to get this download. Okay. Well, I told you I was going to talk about the Red Hill sludge, oily sludge, and what have you. As you know, in Halava, some of you do know and have seen the videos of, in 2014. But I'm still working on that. Ha-ha. Slow work, slow process. But when you got government being lethargic and covering up and basically snubbing the noses at you and thumbing the noses at you and giving you snubbing you, it's a little difficult to try and get their attention. Now, oil is bubbling up in the parking lot at a state facility in Halava, and the facility is managed and housed by the Department of Health, Environmental Services. How about that? And the Department of Agriculture. So I want to share with you now that we went up there and did a story here recently on KGMB, Hawaii News Now, and did the story. Go back. They've locked the gates. This is the response that you get when from such a professional group of people responsible for protecting the environment. They don't do anything. They let it sit out. You bring it to their attention again. They see it every day because they got cones around the spots of bubbling up and oozing out of the ground, and yet they do nothing. And when you go up there to try to advance this issue and this cause or get it cleaned up, and it's a problem. So what do? They lock the gate. So we are concerned with the Red Hill, history of the Red Hill and the ongoing current practices as well as past practices, because we can't say with certainty and tell you for sure that this oil that we're looking at now is from the Red Hill stilling basin. But we are concerned that the state will not do any studies or just leave it hanging out there, laying out in the open, posing a risk to birds and other animals. So the Red Hill Stilling Facility, this is from a physical, chemical, and toxicological characterization of oily sludges generated at naval installations. And this was done in 1983, this report. So we've taken from that report and gleaned some of the info. And this is what it say about the Red Hill Stilling Basin. This is a separate oily wastewater facility, collection and disposal operation connected with the Red Hill facility at the Naval Supply Center, Pearl Harbor. The fuel facility consists of a number of fuel tanks. The water that accumulates at the tank bottom is transferred into the Red Hill Stilling Basins for settling and disposal. The asphalt concrete line basin with slated border lines is approximately 10 feet deep, 70 feet long, and 55 feet wide. During the growth, the process of wastewater settling, the sludge settles to the bottom and the oily scum floats to the surface or get hired by the state. Separated water is disposed of off-site by a contractor. The lower tank farm, also maintained by NSC, is located within the Pearl Harbor shipyard. Oily sludges do accumulate at the tank bottom and must be removed by manual cleaning. A number of samples were taken at the facility from the bottom of the empty fuel storage tanks. There are no principal sources of oily sludge generated at the facility. Waste scum skimmed from the DAF in the air flotation unit and deposited into a scum storage tank, and heavy sludge from waste oil and dirty oil transferred to the treatment facility through the oil sump. The waste collects at the bottom of the sump. Additionally, oily sludges do accumulate at the bottom of the tank. Now, we're going to have a good old time trying to find out what is it that the state does not want to answer. And that is, why are they not cleaning it up? And why haven't they sampled it? We asked the state to sample, and they did sample it, but then they said that it was too old. This portion that they sampled was too old to tell them anything, but it was from a petroleum-based product. So we asked them to go back, and they went back on Friday, and we're waiting for the samples to give us the results of the constituents found in that material. And we are also doing a second test independent of the state, and we will get that information and the results. But since the volume of oil, this is sludge characterization. Since the volume of oily wastewater process at naval installation is relatively low, the quantities of oily sludge generated is not excessive in relative terms. Some naval facilities have not removed sludges accumulated in various unit process over a period of 2 to 3 years. Now, this was in 1983, but you see, it's generating this waste. In spite of low volume of oily sludge generated, the problem of disposal is severe. Oily sludges analyzed so far were found to contain hazardous substance and priority pollutants of organic and inorganic nature, phenols, polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons, heavy metals, including chromium, zinc, copper, lead, nickel. Similar oily sludges produced by the petroleum refinery industry in the DAF units. And that's just a way of screening water from separating water. The DAF units are. And then there's the API method, and gravity separators are designed by law as hazardous waste and can be disposed of only in regulated hazardous waste disposal sites. Such sites at present are few and far between. For example, the state of Hawaii, now get this, The state of Hawaii does not have a single accredited hazardous waste disposal site. Consequently, hazardous waste such as oily sludges must be shipped to the mainland for disposal. The disposal at hazardous waste sites is costly. So the question is, with all of this oil leaking and the concerns that it's leaking in the, what then are they doing with the sludge? I doubt that they're shipping it all off, especially when they had distilling ponds. So consequently, hazardous waste such as oily sludges must be shipped to the mainland. And that is, it's unfortunate. So I decided to go a little further, and we recovered letters some while back that we focus on the oily sludge pit. And we just basically, I do apologize for reading all of this, but it's important. I have some people that are working with me, and they suggest that I should get more of this out. So I've posted some of this online, and we're going to post more at carolcox.com. But here's a letter, April 9th, 1999, and I apologize for going way back there in 1999. That's old news, but you know what? When you got oil bubbling out of the ground from a situation that is closely related, and it goes unexplained, why? I'll take a letter from 1901 because it builds a history and it teaches me what I'm dealing with and it allows me to make an assessment. So this is a letter to Darlene Ige, Miss Darlene Ige, Department of Navy, Pacific Division, Naval Facilities Engineering Command. Draft Phase 1 Remedial Investigation for the Report Oily Waste Facility. The Hawaii Department of Health Hazardous Evaluation Emergency Response Office has reviewed the subject RI report and has the following comments. Phase 2 remedial investigation identified some moderate levels of petroleum soil contamination in the above ground storage tank area with TPH total PAHs levels at 6,800 parts per million. 7,620 parts per billion and 11,300 milligrams per kilogram in the unauthorized discharge area of 8,300 in the unauthorized discharge area at 8,300 milligrams per kilogram. Imagine that. And this investigation, the Department of Health DOH risk-based corrective action and decision-making Tier 1 guidelines were identified to be considered TBC items. The DOH RBCA policy has an action level for petroleum of 5,000 milligrams per kilogram, which several areas at the site having TPH contamination levels exceeding the 5,000 milligrams per kilogram action level. The Navy needs to take action to address this contamination issue. See, they're calling it contamination issue, but yet this was written in 1999, and here it is 2019. So how long does it take, and the oil is bubbling out of the ground? Now, again, I can't say to you with certainty or make the claim that it is the same sludge from the dewatering process and the distilling basin. But it's in close relation to that, and other documents show that there were illegal dumping, and they even call this an investigation of the Department of Health for the unlawful dumping of this contaminated material. They more specifically said in the unauthorized discharge area. So there was an area that they were routinely dumping illegally on the ground, dumping it in the stream. We've reported that and read from the documents. With continuation operation of the PWC water pumping station, the groundwater beneath the oil waste disposal facility flows to the northeast direction, as indicated in Figure 3-7. As a result, the location of the monitoring wells are not adequate for evaluating and monitoring the contaminant transport from the facility. How about that? Yet they offer you so many assurances and guarantees that the water is not contaminated and not a problem. I'll just go through the first confirmed. Now, listen to this. We all talk about that in October of 2014, 27,000 gallons reportedly spilled, and it wasn't quite, and that was the first spill. Now, these documents, these are letters. Again, here's a June 10th, 2014, 2004 letter. And it's to Darren Uchima, Navy Regional, Hawaii Regional Environmental Department. During the telephone conference between representatives of the Department of Health and the Navy on December 11, 2003, a number of issues were discussed, including the documentation requested in DOH's letter October 10, 2003. To date, DOH has not received the requested documentation from the Navy or the required quarterly reports. The first confirmed underground storage tank release for the Red Hill facility was reported on October 28, 1998. Nothing to do with 2014 now. That was 2000. Since that time, two additional confirmed releases have been reported and logged. Under the UST laws, the Navy should have submitted 21 quarterly reports. DOH has received none. Now, 2003, they say that's the first report. This letter is written 2004. And the first report reported on the release for the Red Hill facility was October 28, 1998. This letter is 2004. Since that 1998 one at that time, and this letter is 2004, two other spills between 1998 and 2004 occurred. So three spills, they don't say how much in the volume, but three spills spill that they are acknowledging. And Hawaii administrative rules requires owners and operators to submit quarterly progress reports and set forth all response actions taken in response to the release and a plan for future response action. Failure to submit reports is considered a violation of the UST laws and could lead to the assessment of penalties by DOH pursuant to Hawaii revised statute. In light of the Navy's failure to submit the progress reports, DOH is requesting that the Navy submit the progress reports pursuant to the authority of the Hawaii revised statute. Now, why is this important? And again, this is such a dry subject and you're probably thinking waste of time, but I'm just trying to make book here and document, and so that those that are interested will have a reference point. And I do apologize if it's not entertaining. But the letter goes on to say, permit designated representatives at reasonable times to have access to and copy all records. In accordance, hereby request that the Navy submit all overdue quarterly reports and explanation as to why the reports were not submitted when due. and the documentation requested in its letter of 2003 within 21 days. So I read this to say, you hear me call, refer to the state as being corrupt and crooked and lazy and selective and rely on polluters to self-report. And the Navy is no better off. They are polluters. And these letters tell you that. And for one instance, 21 quarterly reports were not submitted. That sounds familiar. Remember at Mauna Kea in 1997, a letter that I read that they had not submitted any reports, didn't keep any receipts of buying or purchasing oil or fuel, didn't know when it was delivered, didn't know if they had leaked any, didn't know how much, what was the volume that was pumped in the tank. All they know that it was refilled, but they don't know how much was used, didn't keep any records. And yet, when you ask for these documents to reconstruct the history of this situation, you met with some resistance. The records are not readily available, or they're in fragmented portions, and you get some documents from this office, and you get some documents from that office, and they seem to not wed up with one another, or marry these documents to one another from each office. So you're on a scavenger hunt to get the truth and a true picture, as a clearer picture of what is going on. And that's a shameful process, to allow this thing to operate in that fashion. Whether it's Mauna Kea, Red Hill, but my man, if you get caught with hauling wood in a mixed dirt debris, you get zapped. You get put in jail. You get prosecuted. You get taken and go to federal prison, like Steve Swift did. Yet you find letter after letter after letter that shows that there's violation after violation, unauthorized dumping, unauthorized leaking, and unauthorized placement of contaminants in the environment. And yet, all they can do is write back and say, we would appreciate if you would focus on giving us a report so that, and if you don't, that could be a violation. So they allow them to violate, then they catch them violating, then they warn them that they need to submit the documents, and then they tell them, oh, by not submitting the documents, you could be fined, and on and on and on. In the meantime, there's oil bubbling out of the ground. Literally bubbling out of the ground. Depending on the hot days and I guess the migration of this material, it has made its way to the top in various, to the above ground in several places, in the parking lot and external to the parking lot. So you would think the state would welcome any intervention or any inquiry or anything that would move this ball closer to the goal and, so to speak, in cleaning up this mess. You know, if the public is, it's a release, either on a CERCLA or RCRA, I can't tell you exactly which one, but it's a release. And do you see any posting, any signs, warning, hazardous or materials that are harmful? Or tar. You don't see a single sign. So you drive over it. There's some cones that have been sitting in the sun and bleached, but it does not tell you anything, not the proper posting. So come Monday or Wednesday of this coming week, we hope to have better results. If it is from the stealing basins or consistent with that, we'll let you know. If it's not, we're still going to raise heck about it, came to say that they need to clean it up. Regardless. So, it's rather painful reading through these files, to be honest with you. Because what it does is just say that we're paying these people to just write letters. That's all. If the Navy violates the law, if Mauna Kea violates the law, there's no penalty. They did, in fact, give, I reported, after 1987, went on to 2014, I think they gave a citation for $1,800. That paper is in another file. So, but anyway, but they come back and they find years later, find the same violation. And then they finally give them a citation. So what I'm saying is this. We are left to our own defenses, we the public, to deal with these issues. Yes, the state goes out and they generate a ton of paper. Dotting their I's, crossing their T's. But at the end of the day, nothing happens. Nothing. They're willing to leave contaminants in the environment, just laying out there willy-nilly. Anybody, kids who come along playing and get impaled or stuck in the tar or get contaminated. Are there PCBs in this tar or this oil or this sludge? But it's a sludge form, and as it gets hot, it starts to weep and wick out of the soil and on the tree branches and on the plants and what have you. So there's something going on up here at the Red Hill site and facility. So we're going to try. And there was a report on KGMB that they had done a report of the state had done a sampling and found it to be non-toxic. Well, that's an inaccurate statement. I've been doing the investigation. There's no documents that has been presented to me, and I've inquired and asked for them that will declare that this is not toxic, and there's no test results of those specific bubbling sites that would say that the oil is from here or there or not toxic, and that there was another report that it would cost only $120,000 to clean up, and that's why it's been prohibited, cost prohibited. There's not been a document presented to me, and I've asked for documents related to that, the cost and cleanup and estimates and all that I've seen. They didn't provide any in response to my inquiry. So I don't know what to tell you. If you saw the story, you have to figure that one out yourself. But these letters, it's like having a pen pal. You don't want to offend the Navy. You don't want to offend Mauna Kea, TMT. You don't want to offend anybody that has money or power. In the meantime, when it comes down to a challenge and the public asks for it, or myself or others ask for information, then we're met with resistance and the desire to withhold information and obstruct our right to and impede our right to get our hands on these documents, which would tell us a better story than the one they're telling us, the fragmented story. But when I hear the term unauthorized dump site, that's bothersome, troublesome. I mean, I get the shaking in my boots because what else is there? And here's a letter to Darlene Ige in 2000. Subject, revised draft final investigation report for Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal. The Hawaii Department of Health and Response Office has reviewed the subject revised RI report. And your September 2000 letter response to our comment concerning characterization of petroleum oil contamination See, they're saying it's contaminated at the AST near the Red Hill Oil and Waste Disposal Facility. The Navy's response to the DOH comments requiring the Navy to further investigate the AST area fully characterized the extent of the TPH oil contamination, especially in the subsurface soil, vertical plane has not been addressed and has not addressed our concerns. As previously stated in our comment, there has been a release of fuel oil in the AST area, which has migrated down through the subsurface soil to at least 15 feet below the groundwater surface, the ground surface. The Navy has no other information that identifies the vertical extent of the TPH oil contamination in the subsurface soil. Without this information, it would be not possible, would not be possible to determine the threat that this TPH contamination has on getting into the peripheral groundwater and even the basal groundwater. The TPH contamination newly found in the perched groundwater from monitoring well, MWO3, may indicate that the TPH has already migrated down into the perched aquifer, as has been seen in the old Stilling Basin. See, they are admitting that the Stilling Basin also leaked and has contaminated the groundwater. And yet, they're telling you, well, it hadn't gotten to the groundwater under the tanks yet, and we don't have it detected, and it's a minuscule amount. But here, the alarms are sounding. And the petroleum oil release did migrate down through the subsurface soil to contaminate the peripheral groundwater aquifer. Until the issue involving the characterization of the extent of TPH contamination in the subsurface soil in the AST area is resolved, the DOH does not support recommendations in this RI report, no cleanup for soil at the UDA underground storage of tanks in the UPD and AST areas that the site monitoring wells be abandoned and sealed. That's how contaminated it is, folks, up there at Red Hill. They didn't clean it up. They didn't extract it. They didn't suck it up. They didn't do anything. They didn't put any biological enzymes or anything in to try and eat up the contaminants, the organics. Nothing. So what's the status of this Red Hill? Can we be assured? And they're saying, well, still debating. Should they remove it? Should they not? And that is just absolutely. So how did they handle this? I have to go back to that. This what the state does. So all of these letters are in place in their file. They have excessive right threat and threaten to do this and do that and does absolutely nothing. And the here's another one to Darlene Ige in 2005. Request for no further action determination for the Red Hill Oil and Waste. So the Navy requested no further action, but yet these letters I just read to you say that the water had been contaminated down to 65 feet at least, and then sometimes 15 feet in the perched groundwater. It's all there. And this letter here goes, the Department of Health Evaluation Emergency Response has reviewed the Navy's letter requested for a no further action determination of the Red Hill Oil and Waste Disposal Facility. DOH also reviewed the information in the Phase 1 and Phase 2 remedial investigation reports and the recommendation and remediation verification report that completed to address the remediate the oil release that occurred in the Red Hill Oil and Waste Disposal Facility. Based on the information of the soil and groundwater oil contamination conditions provided in those documents, DOH concurs that the Red Hill Oily Waste Disposal Facility oil release sites meet the requirements for no further action in accordance with the Hawaii administrative rules. It goes from its dire situation, you didn't provide the documents, it's leaked, it's gotten bad, it needs to be cleaned up, and then all of a sudden, 5 years later, no further action. Now, they got fancy when they when this thing broke out, and they being the Navy and the State Health Department. You would think the State Health Department would just be the regulator and not the facilitator and not be the protector of the Navy. And there was Senate Concurrent Rule 57 SD1 expanding the task force study of the effects of the January 2014 fuel tank leak at the Red Hill Underground Fuel Storage Facility, established on a Senate Concurrent Resolution 73 HD1 regular session of the 2014 to include an additional 26 underground fuel storage tanks in the state owned by the United States military. So instead of addressing the Red Hill facility and cleaning it up and doing whatever and its side activities, they decided to incorporate all of the tanks in the state, the underground storage tanks. And so what did you get? Delay. A strategy that I marvel at still, that the Navy, as much as it has been violating and the contamination, it was able to take the state by the nose, by the big lip or whatever, and lead it down a path and say, let's combine them all and put it under one effort. And yet they can't even agree to pay or what to do to replace the tanks, remove the tanks. And whatever it is that they're proposing, they're met with, well, it may be too expensive, cost prohibitive. So this resolution, whereas the Senate Concurrent Resolution 73, entitled Requesting the Director of Health to Convene a Task Force to Study the Effect of the January 2014 Fuel Leak at the Red Hill Underground Fuel Storage Facility, was adopted in final form. Why didn't they adopt resolutions on the other spills? And you see they made reference to the January 2014 fuel leak, but didn't make any reference to the 1998 and the 2003, between 2003, the two added ones or the three added ones, made no mention of those. Whereas the task force concluded that the United States Navy intends to study the secondary containment option and advanced leak detection technologies in collaboration with the Department of Health and the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, this was in 2015, and we're, 4 years later, and they're still debating what to do? Folks, we're being poisoned on a daily basis by bureaucrats. And they all seem to want to be hydrologists and geologists and everything else and assure you that everything's safe and fine and it's not a problem. Yet, they can't get over the hurdle of being stalled by bureaucratic procedure. Whereas in addition to the United States Navy, other branches of the United States military own an additional 26 underground storage tanks located throughout the state. Whereas additional, then it be it resolved by the Senate 28th Legislature of the State of Hawaii regular session 2015, the House representative concurring that the task force study be expanded to include the additional 26 underground fuels. Man, I saw this unfold and I thought, how slick. And I don't mean to borrow a pun from oil, but these guys were slick. Hook, line, and sinker. The Navy had the state pitching for it and protecting and watching the front door while they were lying and exiting the back door. So just in case you want to know something about these tanks and where they were, the tank force study under the SCR state concurrent rule, Senate concurrent 73, be expanded to include the additional 26 underground fuel storage tanks located at Hickam POL Annex and Kipapa and Kuahua Peninsula Pacific Missile Range Facility, Barking Sands, and Schofield Barracks, and further be it resolved that the members of the Hawaii's congressional delegation or their representative be added to the membership of the task force established. And so bring them all in. Get them all in. And so therefore you're going to just sit and talk. So you and I go and complain to our legislators. Well, they're part of the task force. They're working it out. 4 years later, nothing. They're still having a discussion. Well, the state now is saying we want them to remove them. But I would assure you that's serving only as a distraction. If the state is involved, and a lot of this activities did occur under Mr. Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson. And Dr. Bruce Anderson was here before with a very casual, hands-off, whole molly-molly, buddy-buddy system with the military, and no major violations. Even when it came to the abatement of the contaminated soils at Hickam and what have you in the past. Just so many things. He's left a trail of getting nothing done, but guess what? He's back at the head of the deal at the Department of Health now. So it's unfortunate. And if you speak of cancers and what have you, that's in the Manalua Bay, not Bay, but the district over the near the that relies on the water there in the aquifer, and people are talking about the horrendous types of cancers they've had or know of people having. No pursuit of that, no nothing. You're on your own. So anyway. I know it's, again, as I've shared with you, it's a dry subject, and my purpose is served to basically try and get it on there in case someone comes along and want to learn something about it or know something about it, because other than this or some lawsuit, I don't know if there's any other documents and what they've done now. If you want documents from them, them being the state health department, just you have to go to the website and get it. Where they've did the sampling reports and what have you. But I would encourage all of you to go and ask for the hard copy and the letters to and from, not just rely on the sampling results. But there will be letters and quarterly reports where there's the state would receive a report or letter and in turn would tell them they don't agree with it or they do agree with it. And if they do accept it or if they deliver it in time, you should ask for a copy of that. Don't just ask for a copy of or go to the website and look at the sampling results. It's not going to give you much. So anyway, I appreciate you listening in and taking the time to stop by and share with us. This is Carol Cox right here at talk808.com. 782-6627 is the phone number. And if you want to email us anything, P.O. Box 89-3062-96789. Aloha, and thank you for joining. I just thought I'd talk about it.